talk in your microphone, which would really be great.
Oh,
I'm all over the place.
I got a note from one of our listeners, Christopher.
Yes.
Wants to know if we are broadcasting on Bonoboville.
On Bonoboville, we should.
We are not until we get onto Facebook.
Oh, okay.
We are going to be on Bonoboville.
Shortly.
Next stop, Facebook.
Like different stop.
In 10 seconds.
Next stop. I like
we are live on Facebook.
Yeah.
So
pack your bags if you're on a Facebook stop.
All aboard.
We're going to pick you up. We're going to pick up a lot of customers and a lot of
travelers.
Yeah, really. Hopefully we'll get some of that money for transportation infrastructure.
The infrastructure
around.
So I don't have to lose my job.
Right.
On the train. Can you imagine? No, he's going to...
I can't imagine that I was going to be a train conductor when I was a little girl. That was not my career objective. But here I am. On the love train. FDR. Which, of course, stands for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, our 32nd president.
Mm-hmm.
And also...
Oh, because I saw an image.
Fuck. DeRich.
Uh-huh.
And that's because we got to do something. We care about the rich. They are people. And we're not cannibals. So eat the rich seems a little extreme. So we're fucking DeRich, baby. On the love train. And it's quite a train tonight because... Yes, we are celebrating 29 years of love and marriage.
Aww.
Actually, longer years of love, but marriage. 29 years of lawfully wedded, I don't know if I'm going to say bliss, but, you know, it's
Well, how
it's
long
great.
Did you guys date before you got married?
That's a whole other story.
So, I had just gotten out of prison.
Yeah.
That's... where we left off the story on another station about a half hour ago. So yeah. If you want to hear that part of the story,
you got to go
wherever, back to something else, right?
Take the train to the other station.
Right. So I'm at the counter getting my my ticket. I'm going back home. I'm free. And I'm out of prison after 18 months, and everything is bright. It's like you're on acid. Because you've been, yeah. Everything is gray in there, and everything, and the woman looks at me, sort of up and down, and I looked at her and I went, murder one.
Wow, and that freaked her out. Talk about intimidating.
I couldn't help it. I said, no, it was just shoplifting. Don't worry about it.
And what was it, Max?
What was it? It was...
Just so the new listeners know.
Okay, so it started with... So it started with 76 counts of obscenity.
Wow.
Yeah, which was every one of the magazines that I had in my house.
Wow.
I had 76 of them. And every one of them got busted. Plus, two counts of conspiracy. Ta-da! Here's Max in Rhode Island and with an 800 number. That made me a big international operator. And then I met her.
Who her?
Her.
Who her?
The one you see in your picture if you're on Reddit. This is Dr. Susie.
Hello.
Remember the guy that complained last week because he didn't like my face? Huh? This is not the Joe Rogan show. Okay?
That stuff you put in your hair or lack thereof.
Well, right. Well, that's why they call him that. Isn't that his name? Rogan?
Mm, sure.
Yeah? Okay. I was right. Okay, so that's how she came to sell me an ad, this woman here.
I did. And yeah. I knew nothing about your impressive prison record.
Right.
I was just trying to sell an ad for my brand new radio show.
Yeah, but she sends this little old Jewish guy.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
No, okay. He was not Jewish.
Well, he looked Jewish. Well, he was like a little guy. He was probably Italian.
Let's start
then.
Out with that. Right
he was
away.
Italian?
I think he was a wasp.
A wasp, that's what
sure.
I said.
This was K-I-E-V, which was right. very conservative,
right-wing
radio. I mean, it was pretty much all wasps, except me.
Anyway, he comes in and he's talking to my partners in the front and telling them this is a new radio show just started. It was 1984 when I got out of prison. I went straight.
It was a good year.
Yeah, it was a good year. So.
So my show was at that point called Radio Match.
Radio Match, yeah.
I believe, or yeah. Match Night.
Match
Radio
Night,
Match,
that's it.
Match Night. And it was sponsored by the LA Weekly. And then the LA Weekly basically told me I better get some new sponsors because they weren't going to pay for the whole thing. So I started doing that, and it wasn't me that was doing it. I had an advertising salesman, and he went to a dating service where Max was doing consultant work.
Because I was not allowed to do any printing of anything. I couldn't even have Playboys in my house.
He said, I don't know, let me think about it. About buying the ad. So the salesman says, I think you'd better go over there. I think you can close the deal. He knew Max was a pervert, I guess. And I don't know how he knew. He didn't tell me anything about Max or anything. I didn't even know Max was there.
I just thought
I was going to some dating service to sell them an ad. But I thought, I'll wear my mini skirt. Actually, it was shorts.
It was pants.
Shorts.
Short pants.
Short.
Well, yeah. Like
short.
Safaris. Like when you go on a safari
shorts.
With the big,
from
wide
the
bottoms.
Banana Republic. Okay.
Yeah.
Banana Republic. Little
right.
shorts that were tight around the waist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with wide around the thighs so that, you know, you could look kind of curvy.
Yeah.
And I brought my little tape recorder, which I brought everywhere, and I sat down with the two people that owned the dating service, and they were a mm-hmm. couple. And I played them my little excerpt, and I said, okay, you should buy this ad. And then they consulted with some guy in the back. Max, my future husband, was the guy in the back.
The guy in the back was sitting at his desk and the door was about this open. I'm just sitting there.
And I barely saw
him. And I look out
him.
There and I see two legs. I said, aha, my attention.
Legs.
These legs.
Definitely legs.
Patrick Palmer on Facebook said, very nice.
So bare legs.
She said, yeah, she's selling an ass. She has a new radio show. And, of course, I've done radio also for a long time. So I thought, oh, if someone does radio. And then she comes and sells me an ad for her radio show.
Right.
And that's how we kind of met.
We didn't really meet, though.
No.
That's how he got a good voyeuristic look at me. I got a glimpse of this guy in the back. I should have known. Pervert, voyeur, you know, the whole thing. I didn't know anything. I just was glad to sell the goddamn ad. So my show perked along, and one day at the radio station, I got a postcard. And this postcard was very romantic. And
oh, ho, ho.
I mean, a lot of things about Max have inspired me, turned me on, impressed me all these years. But I think romance is the key. And this postcard was very Victorian, sexy, kind of a drawing, nothing that was passing around at that time in the mid-1980s. Now it's a cliche to see these Victorian drawings, but people weren't using them that much then. And so I thought, wow, this is a really cool person that sent me this. I want to get to know this person.
Goes right along with my voice, you know.
And I hadn't even heard his voice at all. And I just saw an invitation to dinner with a couple. And I thought, a nice couple, let me go to dinner with this nice couple. And so I did. And that, for me, is when I fell in love with Max.
Aww, I love that.
Because I really met him. He made me dinner. We talked.
Nice move.
He played me things. I saw things. But I couldn't let myself fully fall in love. Why? Because he was married. Or I thought he was almost married. He had a fiancé.
I was
he was going from one wife to another as was his wont.
In transition, very quietly.
In transition. But he was definitely with a woman who was also very nice. And so I fell in love with him, but I couldn't allow myself to really feel that love except in a friendly way. And so I did, and I became good friends with Max and with his wife at the time and with a whole bunch of people that he was associated with. Then he basically, to cut to the chase, got separated. And I swooped in.
Like, can I ask how, like, long? In between, so
six
how long
years.
Were you guys friends?
Six years.
So 6 years of, like, friends, but, like, yeah. Something more. But you guys could feel it, but couldn't do anything
Yeah, and
about
we
it?
Never did anything.
Yeah.
It didn't do until...
Yeah. Maybe 5 years, because then we took a year of...
Then we did the 800 numbers.
The numbers.
And we
started having phone sex. And then we made a tape together,
right.
And our hands started dancing.
I had a little studio in a very nice apartment.
Very nice.
Very nice, on the 11th floor, overlooking everything. Life was good.
Was good.
Before I got fired.
Life is good. Yeah. But yeah, you seem to have this financial promise. I don't believe in those promises anymore, actually.
Listen, I sold the Brentwood blah blah, if you guys are from Brentwood,
yeah.
Westwood, all of that. So all the blah blah fans were all very famous people, from Ronald Reagan to all the actors in Hollywood. And Brentwood had a newspaper called the blah blah. And of course, all these people sort of speak like that, you know. And then we had another paper, and I don't know why I'm telling you this story, but it's an important story. I'm a little stoned right
well,
now.
Well, that was when we were friends, and
right.
I wrote a column
and
that
you
was
wrote
in
a column.
There.
Right. Oh,
and
right.
You did an interview with me and Dr. Tony Grant
right.
about our book.
Right.
And, oh, yeah, we had good times. We also would do these salons before... There was a magazine named Salon. We would have salons. You actually started that, but I glommed onto it. And at these salons, singles would come to meet, but it wasn't a singles party because that's kind of tacky. So it would be like a poetry reading or a 50s dance.
Or we would organize. Aww. We would organize dates with people.
Ah, yes.
One of them was the
Dr.
famous...
Dr. Tony Grant.
Was Tony Grant, who was one of the first radio psychologists in this...
And John... Cypher
from Hill Street Blues, lieutenant. He was the lieutenant. And he wanted to meet Dr. Tony Grant. And he's kind of like a, you know, cool guy. He got a little car, drives around. And, it's, you know, he's well known, or he was at the time. So she knew Tony Grant because she had just written her book, Isn't that right?
Actually, I was writing it at that time.
You were
because
writing
Because once I wrote it, I mean, rest in peace, Dr. Tony Grant, amen and a women, but you did me wrong, girl. you pretended you wrote the whole book by yourself. And it was embarrassing for everybody. But in any case, at that point, we were all good friends, and we would go on cruises together and write together. And we did this whole evening where John basically tried to seduce Tony, and she was not impressed.
No.
And then he was not impressed.
No. But she knew every restaurant in the city, of course, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
And she asked what restaurant.
We would go to all of them.
Yeah. And she had asked what restaurant, and we wouldn't tell her.
No.
We told her the restaurant is up in the hills. Have I ever been there? I don't know, because I don't know the name of the restaurant, but it's somewhere up in the hills.
And it was and it a was. Beautiful private home of, I don't remember who.
Who, but with all glass overlooking the city. And John shows up in this rickety car, and Tony Grant as the passenger.
Ooh.
And I'm dressed as a butler, and she's dressed as a French maid.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So perfect.
And then, because of who they were, we had one of the great L.A. chefs.
Yes, and it was one of Tony's favorite chefs.
Chefs, right.
So, you know, Max and I were falling in love that night, even though he was married to someone else, as well as Tony was making advances upon him, actually.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
If she were here today,
yes,
I would
he
have
might
to
have accused her.
Join the Me Movement.
Yes.
Michael
Now,
Cork.
Me, I'm smoking a joint for those who are watching me on Reddit.
By the way, you look great on Reddit,
Ooh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Dr. Susie.
I look like I'm hanging out in a French countryside.
You are. You know, well, you can see it in the back of the
here.
Building.
Yeah. It's very nice. Yeah.
Riding right along.
So thank you for telling me I have a nice hat. That is SWAT Cat 2012. This is my Go Bonobos hat. You can't see my stockings. Okay, now maybe you can. So I kicked off my shoes because they're very high. And I'm wearing pattern fishnetty stockings in solidarity with Dr. Jill Biden, because the right wing went after Dr. Jill for wearing patterny fishnet. Well, they called them just fishnet, but look, these are similar.
They're great. I love those.
You see, we're in a delay, so it's okay. So eventually, if you're on Reddit, you'll see my patterny fishnet stockings. Oh, you even see my foot. Now I do see. Wow. I have, yeah, for the foot fetishists there is a foot. Okay. And I think she looked great. Listen, I have my qualms about the Bidens, but I think they're doing a pretty good job, and I think she looks really great. I just want to say that. Maybe I'm a fellow petite blonde who wears patterny fishnet stockings, but I just want to compliment her fashion choice. And it's nice to see someone who's not really a model, and that's to be charitable. Although, listen, I'm all for sex workers, so actually, I shouldn't have said that. I would like to say, Melania, I respect your sex work. I do.
Yes.
And I think it's terrible that people slut shame you. But I guess I didn't identify so much with your body type because it was tall and willowy. And I'm more like a little spunky midget.
Well, I can concur.
One guy said he didn't like her feet.
Who'd said that?
Some guy.
Max.
Okay. No one said that.
Who said that?
No one said that.
I don't
that.
See anybody say that.
Max just made that up.
Max.
April Fool's jokes.
April
Fool's. Too late.
That is so mean, you know. Bully me, why don't you?
A Gomez on Reddit says, you look great, Dr. Susie.
Okay, who's A Gomez? Give him a prize. Yeah. What about the belly button? I see Holiday Penn has said, I have pictures revealing my belly button. Many, many pictures of my belly button.
Hundreds of thousands.
On drsusanblock.tv. And it's free.
It's free.
For now. We may start charging again, but during the corona apocalypse.
If you want to donate something.
Of course. You could donate something, and I'll stick it in my belly button and take a picture.
Right.
Yeah.
A million. Yeah. 2 million, maybe.
Also call us, too, if you have any questions or comments.
Oh, yes, right.
So who says
Remag?
Wait, keep streaming on Reddit. I'm enjoying your stories. Very nice. Very nice. Well, we're enjoying your encouragement. Do we know that person?
Yeah. And I don't
is that a cousin of mine?
I don't know that person.
Is that someone who works for me?
That's very nice.
No, that's nice.
It's a different kind of radio. It's not your usual radio.
No.
You know, not fast talking at all.
No,
it's
slow.
Slow hand.
Slow radio.
What is that thing you say? Talk about the hard things that are hard to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We talk about.
And reverse engineer them.
That you really need to talk about, but that you can't talk about anywhere else.
Yeah.
You can talk about it with us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our phone number, do we have a special number tonight? Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So that is 626-461-5212. That's 626-461-5212. But tonight, we're really just talking about us.
Right.
Because it is our anniversary. It's our 29th anniversary of marriage.
Woohoo!
And romance and revolution and hot sex.
We got a ton of commenters
and the Bonobo way.
Happy anniversary.
The Bonobo way. 29 years. 29 years ago, we entered into the kinkiest form of bondage for humans. Well, yeah. And that is marriage. Marriage is bondage, and this band on my finger, that is a wedding ring, and that is the kinkiest form of bondage. This is my wedding ring, and that's gold, and inside it says, Captain of my heart. And this is my engagement ring, which is a cubic zirconia.
Ah, yes.
And I'm so happy that it is a cubic zirconia. When I got this ring, I felt pretty happy because it's a beautiful ring. It looks like it costs like thousands of dollars. And no, it didn't. And we got it in like Macy's. And it was like $200 or whatever. And I was really happy to have a beautiful ring that people would think was a diamond, because I'm a big fake. I've been fake news before people called it that. And yet, there's no plastic surgery here. I'm not a fake
and
about that.
And you look great.
False eyelashes, yes. But no plastic surgery. A little bit of push-up bra, though. Actually, a lot. But anyways, fast forward to being assaulted. Okay, not by Max.
Yeah, no. Separation.
Okay. But we were already married. We were married like 5 years and, or maybe not even, maybe 4 years.
Oh,
and
man.
We were staying in a hotel. We had like 4 suites in the hotel.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We sort of spread out and we did the show. We actually did HBO shows
there
at the Century Wilshire Hotel.
Yeah.
A very nice little hotel on Century Boulevard and
very
Wilshire
old,
Boulevard.
Very old, but a lot of
right
famous
in Westwood,
people. Yeah, yeah.
With a pool in the middle, one of those. Really nice, but kind of seedy. And eventually it was torn down. But we were there and we felt so comfortable. We kept the doors open in between the suites because we would move in and out and in between the suites. And so the door was open and I had lay down. I wasn't feeling well. And Max was up editing a video. And it was a couple nights after we had had a show in which there was some wild sex. And we did a lot of shows with wild sex. And this one featured a very famous director named Lossie Braun, who was a famous porn director, actually, and the father of Axel Braun, who is now a famous porn director, who has won many AVN awards. And so Lossie was our friend, and he would hang out, and he was basically seducing this woman who was in her 40s. And she's very beautiful, and she was really into it. And I don't even think they were having intercourse, really, but he was being very outer course erotic with her. And then her husband came over, speaking of cuckold, and it was all out in the open. Yes. Oh, a little advertisement. Mm-hmm. My church-based cuckoldry gone wrong article is now on Counterpunch and getting some interesting responses.
Yes, yeah, a great article, Dr. Susie. You found it so insightful, and the connections you made with the massage parlor massacre was just right on. I definitely recommend everyone check it out.
They're unfortunately companion pieces.
Yeah.
But they are both about the toxic mix of God and guns and sex problems, various types of sex issues that, you know, are basically normal, but then get twisted by God and guns and being told that it's all bad and secrets and lies. Anyway, so cuckolding is an interesting phenomenon, and a lot of people are turned on by it, fantasize about it, and some people actually do it. And so, you know, we weren't sure exactly what was going on with this couple, but the guy seemed to be into it, although he was having some erection issues, and we were all very compassionate, so we thought.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Everyone sort of was friendly and nice and calm and caring and empathetic, so we thought. Then we did actually another show with a German television company, and the couple was there. And I guess that he sussed the place out.
Oh, wow.
That night.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then the next night, he came back, and I was laying on my stomach, sleeping, when I felt him get on top of me, grab my hands, and put these very uncomfortable UPS plastic ties around them and put a knife to my throat. Cutting to the chase, Max saved my life that night.
Wow.
I saved his a little bit too, and maybe we'll tell that story eventually. I don't want to spend too long, but basically we're still here. But the great part, the awesomest part,
caller,
was that he thought he was being really swift by grabbing my rings.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me if they were real. And I said, yes. I lied, you know. And he was very excited to get my rings.
Yeah.
And they weren't real.
Yeah.
So, it pays to wear your cubit zirconia.
All right, we got a caller.
All right. So we now have a caller. And let's say hello to Chris.
Hey, happy anniversary, Dr. Block.
Thank you. Thank you,
How
Chris.
Are you?
I'm doing great. I'm celebrating, reminiscing, and talking to you.
Excellent. Well, as I said, I had a wedding anniversary present for you guys, so I'm going to tell the story.
Okay.
Last year, there's a group called the Russell Berry Foundation, and they recognize people all across New Jersey for making a difference in making New Jersey a better place. Last year, I was one of the 300 who were nominated for an award, but because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the award ceremony was canceled.
Oh.
So this year, all the nominees for 2020 and 2021 were considered, and there were all about 300 nominations altogether. And they used the money for the first responders and the equipment and everything to donate. Although they did not choose a winner, they're going to recognize the people, and yours truly will be among them.
All right. Well, you know, yes, so we've already recognized you, Chris.
Yes, but this is a very bigger honor than most people think.
You're
going to bestow that honor on the Wall of Honor that will list the names of all the nominees. I will be receiving a certificate of recognition in the mail in May, and there's going to be a virtual award ceremony this May 7th at 11:30, and I'd like to send you an invitation for you to attend as my guest.
Well, I will definitely be there in some spirit.
And congratulations, and thank you for all your support of me over the last several years, and I will continue to support you all the days of my life in the Peace Through Pleasure movement. Always.
Thank you. It is a movement, Peace Through Pleasure, and it's part of our marriage, because that's what drew us together, is an interest in sexuality. We didn't know a lot that we know now, but certainly a sexual interest drew us together, and an interest in peace. We actually came together during the 1991 first Iraq war. And
we
protested that war, and not very many people did. That was a war that a lot of people got behind. And I think now we can see that that war was not a good war. And there really aren't good wars, but that's another subject. But yes, Chris, thank you for supporting the Bonobo Way of Peace Through Pleasure. Yes, we appreciate that, being out there in New Jersey.
Thank you so much, and have a great night.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we
you
will.
Too. Be safe. Be good.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. We have Ikor checking in on Twitter.
Hi, Ikor. Ikor has been with us.
What up, Ikor?
Yeah.
We also have Jexley on Facebook asking what the Reddit link is. So just all you Facebook and Instagrammers, we did put the Reddit link as well. So come join us, everyone. We're having a party.
We're on Reddit.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Woo! And by the way, Ikor and Jux and a lot of other people, including, I don't know, a bunch of people, I might mention most of them later, but they're on our 24th wedding anniversary Bacchanal, which was really quite amazing. It was a combination of music and sex and dance and poetry and porn. It was a orgiastic coming together. And it is right after this show playing, I guess, on all of our groovy stations, not on Facebook. We can't do it on Facebook. We can't do it. Too hot for Facebook. I don't know if it's too hot for Reddit, is it? Maybe.
It's
playing on drsusanblock.com/live. And we're excited to watch it. We hope you enjoy it. And yes, Ikor sings on it, and so do a bunch of other people.
We have Jex Lee just joined us on Reddit, so I'm glad you got that link from Facebook, so everyone check it out. And we have entire service saying, no war is a good war, madam, and Mita Altair says, give peace a dance.
Give peace a dance. I like that. Yes, and I agree, entire service.
Not a chance, but a dance.
No war is a good war. And Jux is saying, had protests out at Fairfax High. Protests. Good. I usually am in favor of the but I don't know. You know, these days, actually, don't know if people are protesting like vaccinations or masks. I am not for that kind of protest, although you have a right to protest. Ooh, this is my beautiful mask.
Gorgeous. I love that mask. I haven't seen anything like it, too. Very unique.
Sexy masks are important if we're going to survive this coronapocalypse. With our libido intact, and our libido is very important to our mental health. Mm-hmm. I keep seeing that phrase, mental health, and that is important, but they don't talk about sexual health.
Good
That's
point.
What we talk about.
It's a good point.
And so masks, they should be sexy. They make you feel good, and they look good. They're weapons of masked seduction.
Even when you are robbing a store, you should have a nice mask.
Yeah,
Not some like fucked up mask.
Oh, so Jux was referring back to the original Gulf War, saying there were protests back in Fairfax High. Maybe he went to those.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of protests of the first Gulf War. There were some, but not too many. I remember it was very lonely, and we bonded, you and I. Right, Captain?
War. Yeah, yeah.
We did. We felt, you know, this is no good. And we made a tape that was subtly anti-war, but it was for the soldiers. It was called Desert Susan.
Oh.
It was in the spirit of Tokyo Rose, was it?
Tokyo Rose, yeah.
So we were trying to undermine. Is that illegal? We were somewhat trying to undermine the desire to drop bombs. And that war was, you know what they called it in the end? A turkey shoot.
Oh.
Because we killed a lot of people that were surrendering, that weren't doing anything. And we told lies to make that war happen. We said that Iraqi soldiers were throwing babies in Kuwait out of incubators on the floor. And they weren't doing that. I mean, I'm not saying that they were angels. They were not. But they weren't doing the baby throwing thing that really got people exercised and behind that war. And let me just say this, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners. My marriage, my 29-year marriage, it's built on an anti-war belief system. We actually didn't discover bonobos until 1993, after we'd been married a year. And then we went, yeah, bonobos. But we didn't know anything about bonobos until 1993. But we did know we liked sex, and we knew love was important and romance.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't quite know how people keep romance going because we had never done that.
Mm-hmm.
All my relationships lasted 3 years. 3 years. That's it. Maybe 3 months. Maybe 3 weeks. Maybe 3 hours. A few 3-minuters, too. But no more than 3 years. That was my maximum. So I didn't know. Although I did know that I'd been friends with Max already for 6 years. So that was cool because the other guys that I'd been with, honestly, I wasn't friends with first.
Yeah.
First was sex. And I'm all for sex. I'm even for having sex first. I really am for that. But I have to admit, in my own life, my own wild and crazy life, my swinging life. My swinging life. That could be like my 600-pound life.
Yeah.
You know?
My swinging life. Oh, my gosh. Dr. Susie, you just invented something.
Okay, steal it now.
You just invented something.
Put me out of my misery, because I know somebody's going to do it. But my swinging life. Anyway, I have had a swinging life. But honestly, my marriage, my 29-year marriage, I didn't have sex for 6 years. I became friends, and I let friendship bloom slowly. Talk about slow. We say this show is slow. And when you listen to this show, you turn the lights down low, which is optimal level for eargasms, right? We want to give you eargasms, and we want to inspire you, and I don't know, make you laugh sometimes, make you think other times. But we're not going to be shooting a lot of information real quick at you. Well, actually, sometimes I do, right?
In a good way. I mean, it's educational always.
Right. But what I guess I'm saying is, for everything I might say we're going to do, we might do the opposite at other times. So
absolutely.
Mostly we're slow. But every once in a while, I got a lot to say and not very much time to say it. But mostly, yeah, we like to feel the rhythm of the train and enjoy.
So we have a Redditor. He said, friendship is a great basis for so many long-term romantic relationships.
Right. Ego Measy, we said that. And by the way, I understand it's a risk, because you could get friend-zoned.
Yeah.
You could. It's a big risk to do that.
Yeah, but I think, you know, because there's like a chemistry. There's like usually like an obvious chemistry that's,
You know what? I talk to so many guys that are sure that there's chemistry.
Yeah, that's true.
And there isn't.
Guys,
the girl doesn't feel the chemistry.
She looks at me.
Right. They feel it. And it's so funny. So I don't know if that really fits. I think women sometimes misjudge. Like Dr. Tony perhaps thought that her grab on your crotch would be welcome.
Well...
Well, let's ask Max. Was that grab on your crotch welcome?
No, it was actually rather shocking, I must say. I don't often get grabbed by the balls by anyone.
Not on the first date.
And certainly not on the first date.
If it's consensual, why not?
She wanted you to testify.
Although when I was a young man, and I lived in Italy.
Testify, Brother Max.
I was an actor. This woman picked me up at the beach.
Yes.
And she was 35 years old. And she took...
Cougar.
Yeah, a cougar. And they took me to her cougar house, her beach thing. And there were a bunch of guys there. Anyway, she took me out to dinner one night. And then afterwards, she wanted to do things. Which I...
Advanced things, right?
Found...
Very advanced.
Yeah. At a fairly young age.
Wow.
What do I do here?
Well,
do you want to be Elvis or do you not want to be
Elvis? You learned. That's why guys like cougars. We're going to be writing an article about cougars on the Institute site very soon.
I loved older women when I was a kid.
Is there such thing as like a cougar season? Are we coming into cougar season?
No.
Because I know you talk about cougars yearly.
There's
right?
Cougar dreams.
Maybe cougar season would be summer.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. That's what I would think.
Then the older woman gets to show off her body and what good shape she's in.
Yep.
And by her age, she actually really wants to.
And we are supposed to be quiet.
Yeah. Quiet? Yeah, you guys. We like you. I like when guys say, yeah, you look good. Great.
I like that stuff.
I'm worried that guys are going to be intimidated. I do not approve of sexual harassment, but I do like compliments. I'm insecure.
I know.
I think all these women who complain about guys complimenting them must be very secure.
Yeah, I mean.
That they don't like the compliments, that they don't crave that. But hey, cool. Don't compliment me. I'm at the age when I wouldn't get it so much anyway. So maybe it's okay that it's happening now.
I disagree.
Don't be surprised.
I've known you for
I've needed it all my life. I needed those compliments. So
thank you. You might have Mr. Graduate.
You are very beloved.
Let's talk about politics now. Devil Red said largest NATO base in Balkans. I was defending Bill Clinton back in the 90s as someone who had a right even to lie about his sex life.
I mean, he should have had to discuss it. It's a private matter.
Right.
He should have even had to say his position on it.
I would have rather he hadn't lied. Mm-hmm. I would have rather. But I understood.
That's the ideal.
Yeah. Yeah. Once he was not exonerated. Well, he wasn't.
He wasn't impeached.
He was impeached.
He was not convicted. Right.
Right. So we all breathed a sigh of relief. And I stopped my article writing, etc. And then what does he do? He starts bombing the shit out of the Kosovo area.
That's not cool.
The Balkans. And he had his reasons, this whole idea of concentration camps. And I remember they kept showing the same picture of this guy behind a barbed wire fence looking hungry. And okay, that's bad. And now we bomb them. I thought that sucked. And I must admit, I didn't follow that as much as I followed the Iraq wars because Clinton's a Democrat. No, because, no, seriously, that's probably why, mea culpa, sorry about that. But also because I was so exhausted from defending him against these puritanical old white men, for the most part, who were later shown to be sexual predators.
Not you.
Yeah,
that's not right.
No, not you. You were defending Clinton along with me.
No. I just want to make sure it wasn't me.
But then he wagged the dog. It was disappointing. Dolly Parton 2.0, electric sock.
I think they're talking about you.
I love Dolly Parton, actually.
Yeah, they're calling you Dolly Parton 2.0.
Oh, wow. That's a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Well.
They're not calling you Max.
Oh.
That's not
I thought I heard my name.
Tell Dr. me Susie. I'm pretty, says Ago Meswi. Tell me. You're pretty. I don't know. I don't see your picture there. I just see some little goofy Reddit alien. I don't know what you look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it is a Reddit alien.
I'm not going to say you're pretty. I hate it when people say I'm pretty and they aren't looking at me.
Well, doesn't everyone have beauty? Is that too corny?
No.
I feel like there's beauty.
Well, okay.
I feel like I'm corny sometimes.
No, you're right. You're right. Okay, so I believe that too. But if somebody is telling me that I'm pretty because everybody's pretty, and I have been told that, and I say, that's a worthless compliment.
Yeah.
If everybody's pretty,
then nobody's pretty.
Well,
very true. True. Well said. It went.
I mean, yes, I'm just saying.
Always. I've had clients say this to me, and I consider it a teaching moment when they say, Dr. Susan, you're beautiful. And I say, thank you. And then they go, all women are beautiful. And I go, oh. Well, okay. That's cool you think that. I hope that if you're interested in a woman and you tell her that she's beautiful,
but
you don't immediately follow it with all women are beautiful. That is not...
That's not how you flirt. Don't flirt that way. Right. You cannot flirt that way.
You're on par with everybody.
You want to be special. And Max always made me feel special. Even when we were just friends. See, if a guy is fucking you, can I say that word on all our platforms?
When
a guy is fucking you, it's cool. And he better say nice things to you. He better. If he doesn't, please leave, okay? Ladies of any gender, if the guy of any gender does not say nice things to you and he's fucking you, you should be gone. What's really special and cool is when someone says nice things to you and they're not fucking you.
What do you mean? So they can't give you a compliment unless they're fucking you?
Are they setting you?
No, it's, I think, better are they if they're not fucking you.
I think the fact that he gave me compliments and he wasn't fucking me, I knew he wasn't just trying to get some that night.
Not that
which
night.
Is perfectly fine. And now that
No,
now he does that all the time.
Maybe in the daytime. Not in the nighttime, but in the daytime.
No, I think that's a legitimate compliment when you're complimenting someone because you want to get into their pants. I think it's legitimate. And in fact,
I hope so.
I think it's required.
Required.
Required, yes, of course.
But to
give
someone a compliment just because you feel that way. Well, that's special. And I'm not saying you should force that with someone you don't feel it about. And I'm not saying it'll get you out of the friend zone, because I know somebody wrote, how do you get out of the friend zone? You may never get out of there, because if the person doesn't have chemistry with you, you can't force it. Yep. But what you can do is do like the little prince in that French book. What he did was he just encouraged the fox by being nice. And if you're nice every day, eventually the fox will let you pet them. Maybe.
Grooming.
Maybe. Yeah, that's grooming. I know. You're not supposed to do that, right? No, you're not supposed to do that with underage
people.
You know
not,
what? That
not
is,
cool.
Oh,
not cool.
Shit. But you gotta groom somebody that you like, unless you're just gonna hop into bed right away.
Yeah,
you just show up.
But
and,
that's what I hate about these words,
labels, and stuff. Like
grooming is a beautiful thing. Animals and humans are animals. Groom each other. Bonobos groom each other. Even common chimps are violent sometimes, but they groom each other. Grooming should not be a bad word. I resent that the Me Too community, and you know, I'm very supportive of the Me Too community. Probably not as supportive as the Me Too community would like, but I am supportive. I think it's a shame when special words are turned from blessings into curses.
I don't.
And one word is groom. Mm-hmm. First of all, groom is a bride's guy. He's the groom. What is this? I see a paper being passed around, and I feel like I'm in a class. Chef be live, and they're sexting us.
Are you connected?
And they say happy anniversary. Okay.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Sexting us.
They sent pictures of a foot, I think. Did you send a picture of a
foot? Oh, I see. They're sending X-rated pictures. Okay.
Oh, I don't know if their feet are X-rated.
They want to show you what they're wearing and stuff.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Or how little they're wearing.
I want to hear their voices.
All right, so we got a call from Chef Be Live and Danielle Watts.
Ask and
hello,
I shall receive.
Chef Be Live and Danielle Watts, are you guys
amen there? Amen and amen.
Can you hear us?
Hello.
Yes.
I got all excited when you started talking about grooming. And
yes. I love
all
grooming.
The ways that I find myself interested in grooming my husband. And
right.
Even now.
And he's your groom.
Yeah, well, even now he's frustrated with me because he wants to plug the phone into the car speaker so he can hear you on the loud. Yeah. But I'm clutching the phone, like, because I'm, you know, how I get in my body, and I get all orgasmic when I
you're
hear you.
Selfish.
And
you're getting very urgent. Selfish.
Oh, she's all naked in the car.
Naked in the car.
Coming home from dinner.
I love it.
You wearing your seatbelt?
It's
spring.
And I... Yeah.
We're on private property, though. We're not going to get in trouble this time.
We pulled into the parking lot at that.
Oh, good. Safety first.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I love you guys in a parking lot. You're so good when you're parked and naked.
And the car's rocking.
Yeah, you make that car move with
the car's rocking,
the motor
coming knocking.
Yeah. And so right after this show, which is our 29th anniversary show. We are playing our 24th wedding anniversary, Bacchanal, featuring You guys, Danielle Watts and Chef B Live on the Dr. Susan Block Show for the first time.
I remember I got invited on to make you a cheesecake around the
end.
That's correct. Right.
I thought you were a good chef. I didn't know you were going to just like steal the show completely.
And I had gone to Hollywood Boulevard to pick out an outfit. I got this Little Miss Hollywood shirt and I borrowed a tutu from my... that tutu that you
that was like a see-through tutu. I saw
it was a lavender tutu, and lavender was the color for the 24th wedding anniversary. See, Abe notices it's see-through. I notice that it's lavender.
It was lace. It was like lace and see-through.
It was synchromistical. We were in the, we felt you. We didn't even know you, but we felt you.
Well, another synchromistical thing is that tutu belonged to my dear friend Jason Green, now known as Freckle. Very Instagram famous Freckle. But Freckle was obsessed. Yeah.
He loves tutus.
Freckle was obsessed with the Dr. Tony Grant book that you wrote and would have me, when I went to his its house, would have me read it out loud to it. Over and over several different passages, and then somehow I manifested you. So the power of the word is real, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And I have to give a shout out to Brendan Sharkey for he met Captain Max in a shopping.
He got recruited.
In a grocery store. And,
right.
And then he brought someone on.
How could you say no to Captain Max?
Yeah, he's like, I gotta get
you
Danielle
and
you live.
And you met Brendan Sharkey. You were with Dayton Raines, the porn star. That was when she was kind of my assistant.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think
I went shopping with her.
With her and her boobs. Yep. And so Brendan saw you and Dayton and her boobs.
Right.
They're beautiful boobs. Amazing. He struck up a conversation with you guys, or you struck up a conversation with him. And we were looking for a cake.
Cake.
That was what we needed for our anniversary.
Oh, okay, so what is this, in a parking lot?
This was in like a Whole Foods store.
It's probably like a Whole Foods or a Sprouts.
Trader Joe's. It was somewhere like that. Okay. And Brendan said, Kroger's. I got the cake for you.
Maybe Kroger's.
Got Not it. Only well, do no, I have well, a no, cake, it's
knowing
attached.
Knowing Brendan, it probably was a Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, because, you know, us health freaks, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But what other and health freaks has so many sex orgy tattoos all over their body? I don't know any other vegan chefs with this many orgies tattooed on their body.
Hey, raw.
Rock star. We have
Jux Lee saying hello, Dean Chef, and he says good times.
And ex-president 35 says the comment of the night. What the fuck is happening here?
I'm in my car, whoever you are.
And then, is this the sexy lady who used to have a TV show? I mean, there's a lot of sexy ladies that used to have TV shows.
No, there's only one that's notable. You're the only noteworthy.
You're the only one.
I'm the only one smoking a joint on my 29th anniversary. Talking to two of my favorite people.
Rachel was not that hot.
My favorite groom. My groomy
Sally,
baby.
Sally with the talk show, she was not that hot.
Also, let me know when they talk about me.
I myself am a fan of the big screen, and I have to say that story of you talking about the French maid outfit was really making me think of my big screen debut in my French maid outfit.
Yeah. I remember that one.
Django Unchained.
By the way, that date cost about $4,500.
What did?
In that time.
Tony Grant's date.
Tony
Grant.
With what's his
John
name?
John Cypher from Hill Street Blues.
The French maid date.
John
had to
pay Max to arrange the date.
To organize.
$2,500, that is really a bargain.
No, he said 45.
Oh, 45. It's still 45. It's still a bargain.
Well, who was the chef then? I got confused.
It was the most famous. He's a very famous chef.
But you forget his name.
No.
Oh, you don't? Cool.
No. I do forget his name. I do.
He worked at Spago.
Yeah, and I understand he was one of the big chefs of that time.
Yeah, he was. And we can find that for you, Danielle. Yeah, we will research that.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're going to research for me at the Institute.
Yes. We do research here.
On the third floor. There's
we
a whole,
do. We have a research. We have the block book.
At the research center.
Research center.
It's beyond the Institute now. It's a research center.
Oh, my God.
Everything's virtual, so who the hell knows what anybody's doing.
It's next to the computer center. It's the research center.
But you guys are the real deal. I mean, you're just...
And evolving as you are.
I can sing your praises.
Danielle, I remember you.
Aren't we wonderful?
I remember you in the French maid outfit.
No, I'm orgasming over her complimenting us.
No, listen, and we had a piano player.
Praise us, girl.
Because you hypnotherapy me to being able to use my voice, Dr. Susie.
I love your voice. I love your body a lot, but it's nice to focus on your voice, I have to admit. I love the visual, but the auditory is special.
Oh. By the way, this is one of our friends here. Chef Be Live is one of the leaders of the
vegan movement.
The raw vegan.
Right.
But a month ago, we ate burgers every day.
Oh, for like a week.
No,
very erotic.
Not that.
Burgers. Oh my God.
Wow. Very interesting.
Were they
and you
real
felt
burgers?
That it was erotic. Did this have anything to do with Army Hammer? Well, just hearing about it. I mean, you know, because a lot of people are talking about it. And we were talking on our show where we discussed it. And of course, anything non-consensual is no. Whether it's grooming or eating someone, and actually even just eating someone, even if they consent, it's wrong. Don't do it. Do not eat someone.
We agree.
But
it's consensual.
You know,
consensual
such
eating.
As you're with splash.
Right now. Oh my God.
When you're licking food off of someone's body, you kind of feel like you're eating them. And
we've done that on your
cunnilingus is called eating. And so there's an eating aspect to just good, clean sex.
Go out
I
to
think
eat.
The cannibalism turns me on because there's this goddess in me that wants to eat all the excess, you know, and let everything be very lean and clean. And I mean, that sounds insane maybe, but
it's insane.
It's like, totally normal. Totally normal.
Once we get rid of all the cows.
We've been talking about... how the cannibalism thing, that's one of the reasons that it resonates with people and people won't let it go is, of course, he's a bad guy. If he did anything non-consensual, bad guy. But, and if he even ate somebody, but nobody's saying that he ate anybody. He just talked about it from what people say in a very vivid way. The talking about eating you up,
I'm going to eat you up.
You should always eat someone up with love.
So I got a message from...
That's cool.
From Pal Nick.
It's making me hungry.
And she says, I mean, pussy is raw meat.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she says on Facebook.
That's right.
That's Pal Nick.
Pal Nick. Yes, and that's why we call it eating pussy. You're really tasting it.
Shout out.
And you like the taste.
Dr. Susie, please. You know, with the Arm & Hammer thing, that intrigued us so much because for two reasons. When Danielle was doing sex therapy at the Institute, her last call was a quote-unquote cannibal, which definitely intrigued her, freaked her out. That's one thing. But the second thing is not only was Danielle eating me, but she always talks about eating me.
Well, Dr. Susie, it's more psychological. It's like the therapist in me.
Yes.
When I see that Be Live's like comfort eating, for example, like when he's not talking to me about his feelings and he's like, I'm hungry or I want a hard kombucha or something like that, then I want to eat his belly. I just go to his belly and I want to.
I should do that with Max. Maybe that'll help with his diet.
You guys clean out the belly button before you lick it.
What was that, Max?
You gotta clean out that lint.
You clean out the lint in the belly button before you start to lick it?
It's more like I want to climb inside his intestines and just clean them out with my tongue.
She was just eating my ear, for God's sake.
I like yummy food on yummy skin. Or no food.
No,
just
I don't
licking.
Really want to climb inside his intestines, but I want my voice to be so powerful that
to
that
vibrate.
I
vibrate. You want it to vibrate in
you
those.
Want yeah, his I attention.
Someone who talks to me about his feelings every time.
Oh,
know?
I am.
And so he doesn't have to eat them away. He doesn't have to stuff them down. And that's I don't know. That's maybe the therapist in me, or just the human in me that wants to feel like I'm in a, you know, in a marriage that means something. Because fuck, what means anything these days? Everything's so fake and real and fake and real, and all you really know is what you feel. And oh my God, I'm rhyming because there's a new deal. I love you, Dr. Susie.
But multiple times she said she wanted to eat my throat or eat my
eat your
foot.
Throat.
I'm holding tension there.
But now toes, I get the toes.
Are you talking about the chicken necks? Those are good. Oh no, those
you
are good.
You know I have one.
Delicacies.
Forget the raw. You cook those. Stew them.
Well, the toes I totally get. You know, the toes, shrimping, because the toes are like shrimp.
They're like little female shrimps.
We'll talk about foot fetishes. You know who has a foot fetish? Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yeah. He does. He has a big foot fetish.
Danielle has a story
Danielle,
what do you know about his foot fetish? Tell us.
Well, I wrote a little essay about it. I should really start a blog. The essay's on Facebook. But
essay.
You know, the last day I was shooting, I was done shooting, he very respectfully asked me if I wanted to come to his place and make out.
Uh-oh.
And I was kind of, woo! It was very respectful. He was very kind.
Very nice,
I was just out of my, I was like swimming in the ocean. I was out of my, it was too much. It was a lot. And I said, I don't think that would be the best thing for my career, because there were all these people from the set who were watching, and he had kind of humiliated me by saying some things that had hurt my feelings. I was crying earlier than
that. That's not good.
I want to hear the story.
I can't even blame him, really, because I was vulnerable. I was anxious. I thought, you know, I was putting so much pressure on this whole thing, and it was such a relief to be done with all of that, to finally play myself. But earlier in the evening, my husband, dear B-Live, is reminding me that he sort of said, you know, you're not really an actress. You're just here looking for a husband. And I found that so shocking, because I, in my mind, I never wanted to get married. I was an artist, you know, and I was going to be an artist until I died. And then a year later, I met B-Live, and I realized, fuck, he was right. I did want a husband very much.
I think you're both right, because you're married and you're an artist more than ever.
And we live in our lives as paintings. We are the art.
Oh, yes, Max. Max. I'd lick your toes to that one.
Hey,
and in terms of, you know, whether or not you should or shouldn't have had sex with Quentin Tarantino, the bottom line is you didn't feel like it.
Yeah, it's true. And then I went and fucked some other random guy from the movie because I had all this energy built up.
Right.
Pretty well, though.
There you go. It wasn't that you weren't horny. It was
punchline.
Yeah. Right. Cool. Yeah.
Thanks. Another pretty well-known actor, Andre.
It was nice.
Andango.
He gave me a nice coat afterwards. It was cold, and he let me keep his coat, and he took me to breakfast. And he was older. He was like 15 years older, and I thought, well, these older guys, I should really look into this. And then I met these guys.
15 years older.
Now, what if Quentin Tarantino wanted to have sex with the two of you? Would you do it?
Well, Quentin
She's
ended up
married over.
A girl named Daniela.
She's younger than you. She's older than you. No, just kidding.
Hello.
It was a joke.
We're joking.
Anyway, he ended up marrying a girl named Daniela, so I like to think that there was a little love between us. I really did. He did a great job of making everyone feel like they were family, and then it was like this family all of a sudden evaporated, and then, you know, I got caught having sex in the car, and then my acting career evaporated, but it was more that this stuff.
Not really, no.
No, I had a lot of learning to do. I had to become a full-fledged fleshed human, and Dr. Susie guided me so eloquently in that sapiosexual awareness of learning how my voice could be my own and how I could speak my own words and write my own script in real time and love my husband in a divine way with a divine reflection of time.
Well, thank you. I am just happy to be a part of your life, and I'm happy that you guys have been a part of our anniversaries for
the past
5 years.
And we follow you.
6 years.
We don't leave the house. We're old people.
Well, we love that.
The fun comes to us.
Right.
And we love you.
We'll have our grand bacchanals again.
Yes.
In the meantime. Yes, yes, yes. We've had some grand bacchanals, and we will again.
Yes.
But in the meantime, it's just nice to communicate.
How'd you end up finding us tonight?
I was going to say www.captainmax.com.
Captainmax.com. Right. Wow, we'll have to get that website.
You all heard that, didn't you?
She's right up your alley. She's right up your alley, Max.
We want everyone to be sure to watch this amazing show where everyone is in lavender. And Danielle, just by osmosis, and Danielle like dances up a storm, and I spank both of them, and there's just rapping and sex.
Heard me.
What?
Yep.
Okay.
Are you there?
I didn't hear that.
Ron Jeremy did finger you.
Oh. So yeah, Ron Jeremy is in it, right?
That guy.
It was a very surprising, unsuspecting fingering.
Well, it was very comforting and fine. He was
okay. How was this fingering? Because
you should get in line.
We don't know if this is something that should be reported.
Yeah. I don't know how it happened.
I want to hear from Danielle. How was this finger?
Well, no, I mean he started by saying, "I like that your left boob is bigger than your right." And
he's grooming.
There was grooming involved.
Grooming,
right?
You're hashtag. Great.
And you know he's like a groper, and
he is.
I was feeling so open, and I had never felt so
free and carefree.
And everything that you talked about, your whole story, just
and
made me feel like it was allowed.
And this guy comes along and sticks his finger up your twat.
Okay. No,
he didn't ask.
Not like that.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't not. I hope not.
I didn't even know about consent, doctor. I mean, doctor.
First.
You know, but... It took like not 3 months of us living in that trailer.
I talk about it all the time. But okay, but that was your first show, and there we go. What an experience. All right.
So I learned a lot from you about consent.
How long was the trauma? How long was the trauma of the sex act? You know, the finger sticking.
That was nothing. That was nothing. We actually saw him again at the DGA, and
he had
a bunch of really funny jokes about I don't know what he has. These funny jokes that he tells everywhere he goes.
Danielle can't say a bad thing about anyone.
I love you. I love everyone.
Obviously, Belive feels assaulted. I don't think I should be doing therapy on this particular show right now, but I can't help it with you guys.
Aww.
We love you.
We feel very badly about what's going on with Ron Jeremy. He has been our friend for a long time, and I'm not weighing in positive or negative right now because I don't have the time. Like a lot of things, it's a complex issue.
But you know, before I met BeLive, I had a whole whole history of that being my sexual life men grabbing.
Oh yeah, grabbing, of course. This is nothing new.
It was nothing. Even my husband, I had to go.
Yeah, just don't tell Chef BeLive about it. Don't tell him about it.
For years of finally, at one point, I said Brian, you know, Brian or BeLive. At one point, I had to say, I don't feel like having sex right now. I don't feel like having your finger in me now. And that's only very recently, like in the last year, that I've been able to really say that and not feel guilty. So it's a process. I mean, when people give you attention, it feels good, and it feels good to feel good, you know?
I think it's great when it feels good. It's when it doesn't feel good that you should feel empowered and able to say no. Just as you said with Mr. Quentin Tarantino. Anyway, I would certainly...
I'm very lucky to have a very supportive father who really talked to me about everything, sex, my body, you know, everything. And I think he also talked to me about men's fragile egos and that sometimes you can do a lot of compassionate work by just going with the flow of things. I mean, I that sounds weird, but...
But it opens up a can of worms. And I will say before we go, no, don't go with the flow of things. If you don't like how things are going, you stop. You don't go with the flow of things. I cannot. I'm sure your father is a great guy.
This is a serious message.
No, seriously, you guys, this is a serious message.
I know it is.
Millions, billions of people are listening to us.
Billions of people.
Yes.
Let me out of here. I think it's my.
This is not a private conversation. It's nice that you feel that it is. But I gotta go.
We gotta wind up the show. I'll send you an email.
You gotta send me emails, Danielle. I think you guys. I don't know what you need. Probably private therapy. But anyway, don't we all? We certainly all do. And let me just say that you guys are an inspiration to us. We have had much inspiration along these 29 years, but in these last 6 years, you've certainly been a great inspiration as a beautiful, sexy, smart, too smart for your own good couple. And we appreciate
it.
It's very consensual. It's very consensual.
Good. It's got to be. Okay.
Oh, and Jacob says, keep it up.
Keep it up.
Jacob.
I think he's referring to Max there. And yes.
Yeah, exactly.
The Jacob Chimes? You're talking about Jacob Chimes? The one with the chimes? I love him.
He's a gem. And he loves Bonobo.
Yes. Thanks for calling
so
in, you guys.
So many gifts for you when the time is right.
Happy anniversary.
And
we
you
love
keep
you.
Thank
that.
You. Thank you. And that's the day. So we love you. Mwah.
We love you guys.
Go Bonobos.
Have fun out there.
And continue your tremendous fun
and your
spreading.
Journey.
You guys have also had a lot of happy anniversaries throughout the night. So real quick, I just want a quick general shout out to Andre Pearson, Mita Tear, Scott Nelson, Lily Garnett, Adriana Gomez, Jux Lee, Michael Corleos, Pau Nick, Harley Plowshow, and Aubrey Ann Melteo. All tuned in to send you guys happy anniversary wishes throughout our social media platforms.
We love you. We never talked about the George Floyd trial, which is a real downer. The key, I think, is when I heard that an onlooker said, you're enjoying that shit. So that's always what I felt was the key and why he should get the whole book thrown at him, Derek Chauvin. Because he was enjoying that shit.
Oh, no.
He was doing it on purpose. This was an example of sadistic policing. That's just me weighing in on, I guess, the most important news of the week. I don't know. There's so much news. We're mostly not talking about news. Derek Chauvin, murder trial of George Floyd. Fuck that guy. And all the counts should be against that. And believe me, I'm all for consenting adults playing BDSM, bondage and discipline, sadomasochistic games.
That's like role play. You could do role play and stuff like that.
I guess we're out of time.
29 years, ladies and gentlemen,
we're about to get to the next stop at the next station.
Plug Thursday show. Yeah, but I'm probably not doing it live. Although I am going to do a show with the authors of Survival of the Friendliest about bonobos and dogs. That's right. Vanessa Wood and Dr. Brian Hare.
I'm so excited for that show.
So that show is going to be released to the public, of course, on all kinds of channels. But in the meantime, study up, class. Survival of the Friendliest. So, speaking of which, that is our way. It's the bonobo way to be friendly, to be for love, for sex, and for peace. And for marriage, that's the odd thing. You would think that orgiastic people like us wouldn't be married for 29 years. We want to thank you for joining us for our 29th wedding anniversary. And now we have this cake. So we want you to be good. We want you to be happy. Whether you are married, marriage isn't for everybody. So whatever you do, make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you. And Max.
Yes.
Do you love them?
I love you all.
Okay.
I love the whole stinking bunch of you.
Wow.
Fucking
how
humanity.
Much do you love us?
I love you. I love your dirty mind.
Do you love me?
Feet. I love you, of course.
How come you love me?
Well, you smell good.
Oh, that's a good reason. Yeah. That's a good reason. I love you too, and you smell better than ever.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.